Well, I think I will go ahead and start, okay, Charlotte?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. So I want to welcome everybody who's here and everybody who's going to come on the call that isn't here yet to our telechat with Imagery International and with Charlotte Resnick. And we're going to be talking about using imagery with children and perhaps young adults, teenagers. And I just wanted to acknowledge Imagery International. It is an organization of professionals. Most of us are using guided imagery in some way in our practice. And a wonderful statement that we have in our newsletter, I wanted to just read it because it really says, I think, what our community is about. Our practitioners educate other health professionals and the general public and children all over the world about the dynamic internal changes made possible by this elegant and profound process of imagery. Our members are active in fostering mutual professional development and growth, in extending postgraduate education and opportunities, and we do have an annual conference now. Next year it's going to be in October of 2010. And in creating unique uses and applications of imagery for the greater well-being of individuals, groups, communities, nations, and the world. And this probably will be an international call tonight because we have many of our members of the association who have signed up, and then several members from several people from Charlotte's community, Facebook, and some actually from different parts of the country. So I just wanted to welcome everybody again and say that when we're listening, if everybody who's a participant can be on mute, which is star six, and then when you do want to talk, we'll have a time period for comments and questions, then you just do star six again to unmute, and you just use that code to go back and forth to talk or to mute yourself. And the reason we do that is it just helps to cut down background noise and too many people and getting an echo sometimes. And again, we will be doing telechats ongoing. We do them about once a month. And members are welcome to participate all the time, and then guests are welcome to be on one of the telechats, and then we encourage people to look at our website and hopefully want to be part of the organization. So with that said, I want to introduce Charlotte Resnick, who I thoroughly enjoy. I'm really very happy to host this, and introduce Charlotte, who is a real gift to our community and to kids. She has such enthusiasm and joy and creativity and skill in bringing imagery to kids of all ages and showing us how applicable it is. She's got several guided imagery CDs for kids. You can see everything on her website, imageryforkids.com. And she's got a great new book out, The Power of Your Child's Imagination, How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. So I'm going to turn it over to Charlotte for about 25 minutes, and then I will open the conversation up and people can ask questions and comments, and then we will end the hour with a guided imagery by Charlotte. So I turn it over to you, Charlotte. Go ahead.
Thank you, Sue. What a sweet, kind, generous introduction. Thank you so much.
That's true.
Oh, I'm touched, really am. And I'm glad to be with all the people that are here tonight, and I hope you'll ask questions, and we're sort of saving that for a period a little bit later, but if you're desperate and you have to ask a question, that's fine, too. I've been working with kids since, 79 or so, not to give my age away or anything, but my goal has always been with kids, for them to be okay, no matter what is going on around them, And I started out working in the inner city in LA, and I was working in the school system, mostly one school at a time. And the way I started is I was desperate. I felt that these kids were in such a dark place. I had to find a way for them to learn to bring their own light.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that whatever traditional things I had been taught at USC, wherever, weren't going to cut it. And my own background, I really feel it's kind of like everything in my life led me to this point. You know, when we look back on our lives and we say, oh, now I see why that was. But it feels like I was being set up all along my life and my education. And I really felt that the kids have wisdom inside. And if they could just develop those tools, they could heal themselves, they could face their everyday challenges, and they could reach their potential. And because I was in the inner city and I didn't have a lot of parent support, I had to teach the kids the tools. And I started, I just started reading everything I could and working with lots of different people. And for those in the Imagery International community, I know we have lots of different people here, but Marty Rossman and David Bressler started the Academy of Guided Imagery. And actually, we weren't that far apart when we started working with imagery. We were sort of working, you know, side by side. We didn't know about each other. And David and I studied with some of the same people, like Mariel Fuller at UCLA, who's no longer living, but I worked with her like every week for a year and a half. Her teacher was a French-Canadian woman, I believe, who moved to Israel. So it's like we're all connected. Somehow we all got connected. And then I sort of went to one of Marty and David's weekends before they started the Academy. And then when they did start, they asked me to participate and help teach some of the kid modules. And in fact, I think it must have been like in 87 that I spoke around the San Francisco area, and that's when that module went into the tape series at the beginning. That was really early on for me because I've been working with kids since about 79 and started working with imagery since about 81. And what I did was basically learn from the kids I work with, learn from everyone else in the world I could, and then my own meditation practice, which started back then also, incorporated, and my own background in art, because I studied art as well as psychology, and just using my own imagination. So kind of pulling together everything is where I came to be and where I am today. And so today, with the time we have, I really hope to share these tools that's kind of pulled together and hope to maybe inspire you to either remember what you already know or maybe some new things will come up for some of you and to maybe inspire you to go out and start using them with the kids you work with or the kids in your home or even yourself. I had one college student recently write to me and said he was reading my book and he was using all the information to help heal his inner child. So that was, you know, very inspiring. And in fact, he's in Chicago, and he wanted to work with me, but he's too far away, so I told him to go on the several sites, the Beyond Ordinary Nursing site, the Imagery International site, and look for a practitioner, and the Academy of Guided Imagery site, and hopefully he found someone in the Chicago area. So what I did was, and gosh, we'll have questions, and then we'll do the meditation at the end, and what I did was, I felt the way in, the first step for me, the first tool, the way in for to help the kids was through their breath. And it's really a meditation breath. But back then, I couldn't use the word meditation where I was working or with the people I was working with. So I basically called it the balloon breath because it's a good visual. And the idea is, same as in most meditations, you breathe 2 to 3 inches below your belly button. And you imagine when you're breathing in, the balloon gets larger, so your belly gets larger down there in your dantian. And then when you breathe out, it flattens out. So for kids, it's really easy for them to imagine that. And I'll have them put their hands on their belly, or I'll have them lie down, or have them put their hands on their mom's belly, and just practice. And I have them practice maybe eyes open 3 breaths and then eyes closed. And so they see the difference. And I like to move them slowly into the eyes closed because a lot of kids, just like adults probably, don't feel comfortable losing the control of closing their eyes. But even with kids, and people say, gosh, kids don't really need to close their eyes. I find that even with kids, you learn so much more. You connect much more with their with your inner wisdom. And that's the whole point of this for me, is having the kids connect to their inner wisdom. And so for me, the breath is the way in. I think one of the kids I work with told me that. And so once we get the breath in, then we can go to a place where we could really connect. And what I like to do is have them find a safe place where they could chill out, where they could relax, where they could take a little mini vacation from life. And also it's a special place to do this inner work. And I think a lot of the tools that I use and the names are similar to the ones that David and Marty put together, and it's similar to the ones that are just out there. There's nothing really new created again, but we all have our own take on it. And I've been fortunate enough to work with so many kids over the years that I've kind of honed it into their needs. Because even though started out in the inner city with a lot of poor Black and Hispanic kids, over the last 25 years, I've worked with a whole range from very wealthy kids to middle class. It doesn't really matter to me. And it doesn't matter to the kids because it's the heart we're talking about. It's connecting to their soul and their spirit. So I call it discovering a special place. So once you have the breath and you have a special place, that really means a lot. Because even if they don't learn anything else, if they have that place to go to, that makes their life much easier. But since they do have those tools, then they can move on to the other tools. And the third section, I have like three tools in that area, and that's the idea of connecting to their inner guidance. And with kids, I have them connect through an animal friend that they imagine, or a wizard, or a wise person, and then receive gifts of advice. It could be a real gift or a real imaginary gift, or it could be a word or a thought, or they're showing them something. But the idea is it bypasses their like defenses, because if you ask a kid, why'd you do that, they'll often say, I don't know, or, well, how could you fix that, they'll say, I don't know. But if they ask their animal friend, then that makes a big difference. I have so many stories, and although this call is just touching on a few things, hopefully if you haven't read The Power of Your Child's Imagination yet, you will read it, because it kind of lays everything out step by step, like I'm there with you, and lots of examples. And as Sue mentioned, I could really talk about this for days, so that would add up in cell phone minutes. But going back to their inner guidance, I'm very enthusiastic. I love this. I love the kids. It's so much fun. And I also take it very, very seriously, because I work with some very seriously hurt kids emotionally or physically. But you have to maintain your sense of humor, because that gets you through the day. So I was thinking, because right now my mind is going in many places, when we were talking about animal friends. For me, the animal friend is a wise, loving being that has the best interest of a child at heart and could help them solve problems. Like one girl I'm thinking about not too long ago, she was having a heck of a time falling asleep, and she would be sleeping in her parents' bed, and they really wanted her out of their bed, and they were trying to get her out and back to her room. Well, she imagined, she was terrified, first of all, she was terrified someone was going to break into the house, even though they had an alarm system on. So she actually imagined this gorgeous white dragon that she called Valcor. And the dragon wrapped around her bed, and it made her feel very safe. She actually also put a tiger at the door, just in case. And it really helped bring her peace. And she started sleeping on her own. I mean, she was probably listening to one of my CDs, which is always a nice thing to do, that you could record your own, or parents could read to the child, or the kids could, after a while, figure it out for themselves. But that was an added bonus. But I think that white dragon was very powerful. And what was really interesting, and parents ask me this often as well, it's imaginary. Is that going to help her real fear? But the fear is from the imagination realm, when you think about it, because nobody was going to break into her house. Her house was never broken into. She had an alarm system on. She knew her fear was from this other realm. In fact, she said to me, the fear is from the imagination realm, so I have to, she was like 11 or so, I don't know. Yeah, I think 9, 11, I get them mixed up. But she said, that's why I have to go there. That's where I can pull out the cure. So she got it, that the fear was coming from this other place, and she had to go into that other place to help heal it. And after a little while, she started worrying about her family. Well, were they going to be okay? She knew she was okay with Valcor and the tiger. So what she did was she sent in Valcor's like cousins and relatives to protect her brother and parents, which I thought was a brilliant way of handling it. And whenever you're working with the kids with their imagination, I would just recommend be creative, use their imagination. The tools are just the first step, and then you go with it. And even if they come up with problems, which we might call resistance, what I do is we always have another way in. And a lot of times, with, say, with interactive imagery, we'd like people to come up with their own ideas, and I totally agree with that. However, with kids, sometimes they need a little start, like they're not used to working like this, so I'll often help them out. That's where like the guided imageries come in, but or the CDs, or you can help them a little, and then they get started, then they start taking off on their own, which is great. So sometimes animal friends are really brave, like this girl with Valcor or another boy who was going to have some procedure at the hospital and he was really scared. So he had a pride of lions around his bed to protect him, and that really made him feel safe. But sometimes you get scared animals, like just as scared as the child is. So you might have a rabbit or you might have like a wide-eyed doe or deer because they really understand what the child is going through. And that's good too, because then they empathize and then they could take the child from there. So we got animal friends, we got wizards. Wizards are really popular with since Harry Potter anyway. And wizard is a little bit different than the animal friend. It's, I think of the wizard as more like a master teacher but in human form. And sometimes there are side, like little caveats of the wizards. There might be witches because they're very wise women. Or they might be mermaids. They come up in different forms. And for a long time, the kids were seeing wizards that were very traditional, like with the long blue cape and beard. But I get all kinds of wizards. I got Albert Einstein as someone's wizard for school. I got a spelling wizard, which I should say, sometimes there's like an all-purpose wizard. And sometimes kids get really specific, like this spelling wizard. There was one boy, he was getting like 27, 28 words wrong in a paragraph. So he called in the spelling wizard. The wizard like cleaned out his brain, whispered the answers to him when he got nervous. And what happened was his spelling improved in a few months to like 3 or 4 errors. Or we might get a self-control wizard. One girl who was having temper tantrums or getting angry easier, she called in a self-control wizard to help her stay calm. Or it could be a wise person. Sometimes when I'm working with teenagers, and I just go with whatever they're into. And so that might be a wise person. Sometimes someone, their grandmother comes back to them, or someone that's passed away, or the animal friend could be an animal that they have, an animal that they've had that's passed away, or one they make up. I talk about a girl who created one that was like a dog chicken. It was so funny. So it could be any number of these. Just stay in the ballpark, and whatever they come up with, you can work with. And the idea of consulting with these inner guides is to help them solve their problems, help them find their solutions. And so they often receive what I call gifts from them. And gifts could be words, could be real gifts, could be anything, anything that they need in the moment that will help them solve their problem. And you know, I'm talking about these tools, and this is going up almost to tool 5, but there's like sidetracks, because sometimes I start with having the child imagine or picture where they are right now, how they're feeling right now. I'm feeling mean, I'm feeling miserable, I have no friends. Maybe we'll draw it, because I really use art and also music and writing a lot in the work I do with kids. And then I'll ask them, well, how would you like things to be? What do you imagine? What does it look like? What does it feel like? And so I don't want to be mean. You know, I have lots of friends. The sky is beautiful. And I'll have them draw it and talk about it and bring in as many senses as I can, because I really want them to have that image really strong, because then we could take the steps to get there. Sometimes I'll have them walking on their path, because I'll often have them walk on their path to where they're going, either their special place or their healing pond. But the idea is it's like their life path. And then along the way, we might, what's the first obstacle that's between here and your goal? Okay, I'm working with a girl who's, a boy who's bedwetting. So first obstacle is, you know, not waking up at night. Well, what's going to help you wake up at night? So then he brings in an alarm clock, an internal alarm clock that wakes him up when his bladder is nearly full. So it wakes him up so he can go pee and go back to bed. So then he goes through that obstacle. Well, what's the next one? And so on. So it's what's wonderful is you're just staying with the child. Sometimes I'll help them with ideas. Like, this is way back when I was in the inner city, and a girl, I was doing a group meditation, because you could do individual work, which is wonderful, because then you're going back and forth in the moment. Or I'll do a group sort of imagery, guided visualization, guided meditation, trying to leave it open enough for the kids to work with it, and then afterwards we'll draw and we'll talk about it, so I'll see what's happening with them. And one girl said things were going too fast, so we just gave her, told her to slow down, told her she had the controls, gave her a flashlight if it was dark, to give her light. So you have all the tools inside, and you suggest that to the kids as well. And when you're working one-on-one and they're talking back to you in the moment, it's easier to see that than when you're working with a group. So it's kind of good to let them know up front that they're in control and they could change anything or work things around. And then after we consult with these outer, they're kind of outer guides, but they're from the inside, then I like to consult with the wisdom of the body, because the heart, the belly, and the rest of the body have so much information for us. And so one tool is like checking with heart and belly. There's a lot of research that shows that there are cells in our intestines that are similar to cells in our brain, and the HeartMath Institute has done a lot of work with showing how much information the heart has. So I'll teach kids pretty early on how to check in with their heart. It's really easy. You just focus on your balloon breath, and you just ask inside what your heart wants to tell you. In fact, not to take away from our longer imagery later, but just try this now. So allow your eyes to gently close. Find a comfortable position. Be aware of your breathing and of the air going into your nose, down into your belly, and then out again through your nose. Let yourself find a peaceful rhythm, breathing in and out slowly. 1, 2, 3. With each breath, allow your body to become more and more relaxed. Now breathe in even slower to the count of 1, 2, 3, 4. Breathe out just as slowly. Take some time to practice sending your breath 2 to 3 inches below your navel. Be aware of your chest and your heart. Bring your attention to your heart center in the middle of your chest. Imagine it beating and filling with love and wisdom. Continue to breathe slowly, focusing on your heart center. You may place your hand over your heart center, allowing yourself to be comforted. As you breathe, put your awareness there. You can keep your hand over your heart for as long as you want, as long as you need some extra comfort and love. Now see if any thoughts, pictures, music, or messages come from your heart, from your heart's wisdom.
trust them. Trust yourself. You can even have a conversation with your heart and ask anything you want to know. Take some time. And now, we're going to continue. So allow your eyes to come slowly open, breathing slowly. And you'll continue to nurture yourself throughout this call and afterwards. And when we talk, when we share in a little bit, I'd like to hear what that was like for you. But this is one quick way to check in with your heart, and then the same thing for your belly. And there, this is from the parent support CD, but for the kids we have short, simple exercises. So I'll have the kids check with their heart, what's the message in their belly. And you know, I work with kids of all ages, and I was really even surprised a three-year-old was able to do this, and his belly told him to share at preschool, which is really touching to his mom. So it could be used at any age. And then besides heart and belly, we want to check in with the wisdom from the other parts of our body, because there are feelings, there are symptoms, there are emotions, and there are physical symptoms, emotional symptoms all over our body. And I like to see what colors they are and what they have to say. I had one girl, her anger was in her knee, and it was like a Red Bull. And to balance it, she found a love potion. She found two things, actually. One, there was a white filter she put in her neck because she was very angry at her sibling, which is very common. And what happened is when she put the white filter in her neck, when the bull came out, which was supposedly to protect her from the bull and other people, interesting metaphor, the filter would help the words come out not so mean, she said. And then after that, she found a love potion in her heart. And when she dropped the potion, a little bit of love potion, onto the red angry bull, it turned into this soft, sleeping blue animal, and was, wasn't so angry, wasn't angry anymore. And she actually found that the love helped even more. And she used the white filter just as backup when she didn't get the love potion in time. And I use that. I often use two positive to one negative, like if a child is stressed or angry, ask him where he keeps his anger and stress, thinking about a boy who had anger in his belly, red, and then I tried calmness, where do you keep calmness, in his shoulders, it was blue, where do you keep, so then what we had first, we had him breathe in the blue color, the blue calmness into his anger, and it kind of covered over the anger. And then we asked where his love was, and that was white in his heart. But when he breathed in the love into the anger, it kind of just dissipated the anger, whereas the calmness covered up over it. So then we could also have a conversation, because first of all, some anger is very helpful, so you might not want to get rid of all of it, but the child could have a conversation with it and see how it serves him, what he needs to know to get a handle on it. But the colors are very powerful, and that's another tool I use with kids. I'm very sensitive to color, always have been, used, to study it. And you probably notice yourself, like some days you feel like wearing one color over the other. So colors can be really powerful. And then the last tool, the ninth tool, is a tool I didn't really speak about for many years, and it was only till recently that I did. And basically, I teach kids to tap into energy around them. And I would use the energy and work with the kids' energy. Even back in the inner city, I would walk around and put my hand about 6 inches behind the heart chakra in the back and work with their energy there. And now I basically teach kids to use that for themselves. And you can do it yourself very quickly, even if you have no meditation experience or information with energy. If you rub your hands together really quickly for about a half a minute, and then you separate them very slowly, you start to feel something between those hands. And it's a nice way to see, to get an experience of what energy is. And then you can play with it, like in Qigong, they always make these balls in Tai Chi, and you can play with that energy. And very recently, there was a study done
at Duke University and University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and they work with kids who had recurrent chronic stomach pain. And one of their imageries actually was teaching the kids to use energy work. They had them imagine like a warm stone in their hand and their hands warming up. And then it would melt into their hands. And they had them put their warm hands on their belly and imagine the pain melting away. They were using imagery, but they were really also teaching kids about energy. And I find that's another very helpful tool. So that's sort of the roundup of the tools, and I found that I've used it in all kinds of ways with kids. Many of you, know this, from dealing with anger, headaches, stomach aches, phobias, bedwetting, things that happen when parents separate and divorce, kids that pull out their hair, eyelashes, school, just across the board. If there's an area of concern, I feel you can mix and match the tools, can really have the kids adapt it to their own use, and it's just so wonderful. I've had so much joy. I'm working with someone now who's had cancer, and he has a snake in his leg that kills off all the bad guys, and just they come up with amazing images, and it's just a joy to work with. So Sue, now that I've talked for my time for now, why don't I send it back to you? How would you like to proceed?
Well, that's a lot in a short period of time. That's great. And, of course, there's so much more to talk about. And it sure sounds like you use a combination of guided imagery and more of the eliciting guided imagery in terms of suggestive imagery and helping the individual, the child in particular, draw out from their own imagination, which the practitioners who are trained like that really know the greater, even greater power of it.
Yes, yes. I want to start them off. I start wherever they're at. So some of the kids already are able to move into that very quickly, and others are not. You know, people say to me, gosh, kids are so easy to work with. They have great imaginations. They're so much more open than adults. But you know what? That's not really accurate. I find sometimes kids are really shut down. So depending on what's happening in their life, I try to ease them into it wherever they're at. So I want to accept where they are and then help move them to that place. Because the goal is always for them to use these tools on their own in all sorts of circumstances.
Mm-hmm. So that's really good advice for all of us, is to meet somebody no matter what age or who they are, where they're at, and work from there.
Right.
There's a lot of topics or questions that I would like to introduce, but I think first I'd like to open it up to people now in terms of questions for Charlotte or comments and your own experience, what you've found, or perhaps maybe a problem that you have with a child or had with a child and maybe how imagery might help there.
This is Cindy Mittendorf. I have a question.
Sure.
Charlotte, what would you suggest for a 6 or 7 year old child who is afraid of dogs or cats, afraid of animals that are pets, and cries and wants his parents to hold?
Is this a child that something happened to them that actually they had a bad experience, or they were just always fearful?
Always fearful.
Always fearful. So I never know where that comes from, if they're born like this, if something happened, but, it's like an old NLP trick where how far away does a dog or cat have to be to feel comfortable? Can you see it on a TV screen, or do they have to be like a block away or 5 blocks away? So one of the things I'll do is that kind of desensitization and see how far away they have to be. Do they need a protective screen in front of them? Do they need glass in front of them so that they feel safe? Do they need to hold anything? So just ask them, maybe one of the aspects is seeing what would make them feel safe. And then I might call in their own, what animal friend could they have that they feel better about? Maybe they're afraid of dogs or cats, but they're not afraid of, a bear that might come and help them. So I might see what animal friend will help them and protect them. So I'd start from there and then work with that and see what things they need to feel protected and then slowly maybe bring them closer or you know, that's a little bit of a desensitization. But I'd go back and forth based on what information the child is telling you, then you want to work with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I was wondering what their experience was with that little connection with connecting with your heart, if you received any information that was helpful for yourself, whether that was easy or challenging. You know, as we're all thinking, I was thinking of something too, that the idea for me is when a problem comes up or a situation where they'd like some more internal guidance, I would, and they know all the tools pretty well, I just have them ask, close their eyes, do their focus on their bloom breath, maybe go to their special place and ask, who shows up? Who's going to show up to help? And it could be an animal friend, could be a wizard, could be one of their parents, could be anyone. And then what do they share with you? What do they tell you that will be helpful or useful, and go on from there? So then it could be a quick check-in.
Anybody else want to chime in?
This is Christine, and I just wanted to say I love the way you're working with kids. I think that is sensational. I really do.
Thank you.
To use their imagination and their intuitive together.
Right.
It's really exciting. So thank you so much.
Oh, pleasure. Pleasure. And that I'm glad you mentioned the word their intuition, because that's what I'm really hoping to help them develop, is to trust themselves and develop their intuition. And that's all about, you know, the whole checking with heart and belly, and they learn that they can trust themselves. I, in fact, at the end of our sessions, I have a little box of these heart cards. Maybe some of you have seen 72 heart messages. So, and I have a box of angel cards, and I just have them close their eyes and pick one that feels right to them. And it kind of gives them a little message or a little angel that's going to help them that week. And we might relate it to what they've been going through. But they all really love doing this.
Well, thank you so much. I really feel I've learned a lot, and I'm excited to read your book.
Great, great. Thanks, Christine. And Sue, did you want to ask a question while someone else...
Yeah, I'll see if anyone else is thinking. In the meantime, a couple themes I wanted to ask you to speak more to.
Mm-hmm.
What about the kids that, really have had trauma, or kids in... I don't know that you've worked directly with kids in certain countries that have had such trauma in war. But in general, when a child does feel unsafe or that they are difficult to reach, what are some ways that you have found you can offer them some tools?
You know, it's very interesting. The kids who have been traumatized, sometimes it's very hard for them to imagine a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I remember one girl, she had, like, signs posted in a special place, bad men, bad guys keep out, and the bad guys are trying to get in. And so it took her a while to even imagine herself safe. And sometimes... when they don't feel loved and they can't find any love in their body, sometimes we could find like a spark of it, like a little kernel. And if he could find that kernel, then we could breathe it and make it larger. And what we do sometimes is say breathe, and I might choose a color, ask them, what color it is, it just depends on the child, and then see how far they could breathe out that feeling of love or safety, and maybe fill up their whole body with it, and then send it out. Like, we start creating a cocoon of protection. So send it out 6 inches, and then send it out a foot, and 2 feet, and 3 feet, and then put a seal around it, so nothing bad could come in. Only good things come in. Anything bad bounces off. And what that does is maybe it's not a perfect item, but it helps them feel safer. It helps them feel that they could be a little bit safer in the world, and they feel a little bit protected from some of the bad things that have happened. And sometimes we have to go in and find like a protector, or find the parts of them that have been really hurt inside. I'm one boy, and he wasn't tortured, but his parents had this horrible divorce, and his heart was ripped to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him, it was like torture. And so we had to, bit by bit, help heal that and send lots and lots of love there. And you could work with some energy also, because when I'm just sitting away from the child, I'll sit and I'll send energy from my chair 6 inches away, and sometimes you just have to send a lot of love. But I tried to help them develop that love from inside themselves. And then if bad things have happened in the past and they're away from those bad things, we might have them imagine what kind of conversation they'd like to have with that person, or write letters or draw pictures, or sometimes it's hard to do because it's too close, so we just depends on what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
And
beautiful.
Sometimes they'll send them to the healing pond, and where they could just have lots of healing waters and take away and wash away all their pain and sadness. And then when they get a little stronger, maybe they could talk to their sadness and pain and see what it needs or see what it wants to say.
Beautiful. Okay, well, one other topic I wanted you to give us some tips on are, age-specific, certain very young kids or teenagers, what advice would you have for us as far as how to work with certain ages and imagery?
Right. Well, for me, I go with what is going on with the child. It's very interesting. I thought when I started out making these CDs it would only be for 5-year-olds and over, but I'm finding, depending on the child's language, you could start earlier, like the 3-year-old I mentioned, or you want to start with their language level. Like sometimes with younger kids, I'll use a rainbow breath because they understand a rainbow sometimes easier than a balloon. Whereas on the other end with teenagers, I kind of work with what's important to them because, parents often bring their teenagers in and they just dump them off, or they're having big issues that the kids don't want to talk to their parents about. Maybe they're being rebellious. Well, that's not important to the teenager. They really want to learn how to go out with this girl, or they're really interested in sports. So I just start with whatever's important to them. So if they're interested in sports, I hook them in that way, and I say, great, how about we find out how you could do better at soccer? Would you like to learn something to help you do better at soccer? And I quote some different studies, and all the Olympic athletes have sports psychologists, and there's that easy study with basketball where they're shooting from the foul line, and the group that did imagery and the group that practiced did just as well, improved, as the group that and the group that did nothing, didn't improve at all. So if I could teach them with using their imagination how they can improve in something they're interested in, then we can move on to something maybe that their parents might be interested in. For example, with kids, with teenagers or even older latency age kids who are having sibling issues, I never start with how they treat their sibling. I start with how their sibling is treating them. And then they connect much more. I mean, mm-hmm. That makes more sense. And then, then we could see, how would you like it to be? So most kids will tell me that they would like a better relationship, say, with their brother or sister, no matter what the age. So if I can get them to agree that they would like whatever they would like, if that's the goal, say their parents, because their parents are bringing them in, I try to go in the side door like that and say, okay, well, maybe we could try some of this to make your life a little bit easier on your sister. You only have 3 more years to live with her, and then you're off to college, but okay, you want it to be better, I'll help you do it that way. So I try to, work from their agenda first. And the kids that are younger in the middle, they're it's very interesting. There's some kids that really take to using their imagination, and then there are others that they think it's kind of dumb. So that's where I have to hook them in what's important to them.
Would you say that teenagers are more in that last category, that they think this is dumb?
Well, if I would start talking to them about wizards and animal friends, they would. But a lot of teenagers are coming in with a lot of anxiety and stress.
Mm-hmm.
So they're coming in to learn, de-stressing techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's okay. And then I don't teach them the balloon breath. I basically teach them, I just call it deep breathing. Or if they have some background in meditation, I'll tell them it's meditation. I had one girl that was in a lot of pain, a lot of bad stomach pain. And she was very bright and thought she knew everything. So you know, just had to be a little careful. But I basically taught her the balloon breath, but really to meditate. And I told her, I taught her hand positions. I taught her where she could put her tongue above, between her teeth and the top of the palate. And she was really able to lower her pain level. She didn't think anything could help her. That's the other kind of kid I see, that, you know, nothing could help them. Mm-hmm. And so she was willing to try something. And I often bring in other kids. I just say, well, this child told me, or this teenager told me, this helped her. I don't know if it'll work for you. You know, like really nonchalant, no big deal, so they don't feel pressured. And then she was able to change, you know, that's lowering and raising your pain. So she could raise it, but then she could lower it. So once she felt in control, she was able to lower her pain. And we were working with the numbers, like the 0 to 10 scale. So that was really good. But what I find is really trust yourself. I mean, you get the tools under your belt, and then trust yourself in your own creativity and imagination, and work with the child and use their imagination, see where it takes you. It's not that different from working with adults, because I do a lot of workshops, and I lead the adults through the same thing. It's basically, it's language. And whoever's working, if you're a parent, you know your child. You know the age of your child. You know how to speak to your child. And if you're a therapist or a practitioner of some kind, you also know those children. So that's what I love about all these tools. They're so adaptable. So I don't have to tell you, say this or that. I just give you the tools, and you will know the language.
It's universal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Well, maybe we'd like to do a little imagery for some of the people now.
Yes, I think that would be absolutely.
All right. So I want you to just enjoy yourself. You can listen to my words. You could space out. Doesn't really matter. We're going to take some time for you. Special time that you deserve. As you focus on your breathing, allow your body to relax. Slowly, go inside yourself. Notice a beautiful protective gold light around you, bringing you peace and calm. You are safe and ready to take your journey down the wondrous road to an enchanting cave deep, deep inside. Find yourself walking along a peaceful path. There are mountains in the distance, thick with trees and birds flying overhead. The sky is a palette of pastels. The air is fresh and bright. A stream trickles nearby. One mountain seems to draw you toward it. At the base, there is an opening to a cave. A wise guide waits at the entrance. Perhaps someone you know. Maybe it's someone you have not yet met, but who is no longer with you. Loving being has your best interest at heart and is there to take you inside. As you enter together, glowing candles light the way. You are safe and protected with much wisdom around you. Drawings and paintings cover the walls. Fantastic stories and messages just for you. They illustrate your journey.
how far you've come, where you are going. Continue walking into the cave, into yourself, for as long as you need. You too are wise. You know what's right for you. When you are ready, allow yourself to arrive at the center of the Cave of Great Wisdom. Before you is a gorgeous throne, encrusted in jewels. It has velvet cushions and reflects sunshine, even deep in this mountain. Your guide motions for you to sit as you let your body sink into this lush fabric. A procession begins of family and friends whom you have touched deeply. They walk by slowly, thanking you for all you've done for them, revealing how you've helped them and how their life has been enriched by knowing you. One by one, they stop and place a gift before you. A word, a thought, or something tangible. Let yourself receive them. You deserve them all. Perhaps you have not realized until now how much your family and friends love you, how important you are to them. Allow your heart to respond to this outpouring. You deserve so much. Love, appreciation, kindness, and more. As your heart remains open, you'll continue to receive. There's plenty of time to take it all in now. And as time goes on over the course of the evening and the next few days, you may notice that your head and shoulders feel a bit lighter, your burdens released. As you discover and remember how blessed you are, how grateful you feel, your heart expands. Your wise one appears to answer your questions and reveal your next step as a parent, if you are one, the next step in your personal life, the next step in your growth. Listen with an open heart. All you need and want to know will be shared now and perhaps in your dreams tonight. Notice what pearls of wisdom are offered to help you meet your challenges. Ask your wise one about anything else you'd like to understand. This cave of great wisdom is always available to you. You could return many, many times. For now, come back slowly to the cave with your guide. When you arrive outside, return to your path. Bring all the gifts and information with you. Trust that you will remember all of it and that your wisdom will grow each day. Become aware of your breathing, your body, your feet, and open your eyes slowly, feeling refreshed. And if you like, in a little while, when this call is done, you could write or draw any of the messages you received. So come back here. And this is from, I adapted it as I was reading it from the chapter on Grown-Ups Need Tools Too, and wanted to give you something as we ended this call that you could take with you just for you.
How lovely, Charlotte. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you're right. We need all of this too for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all of your wisdom and for presenting all of these great ideas. And thank everybody for attending. The best to everyone.
Yes. And, you know, you just go to my website for those who came in a little bit late, which is imageryforkids.com. Lots of articles connect to the Psychology Today blog. And if you haven't had my book so far, just go through the process of clicking, because there's like 80-plus free gifts you could download if you go through that.
Wow.
I want to give everyone that and opportunities for, you know, even better discounts on my books. If you click on the home page and the picture of the book, they'll take you to the page to order it that way, and that's kind of a nice gift also.
And everyone can view Imagery International's website, yeah, which is imageryinternational.org.
And Beyond Ordinary Nursing. We don't want to forget you.
Thank you. And that's integrativeimagery.com.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So again, take care, everyone, and good night. And thanks a million, Charlotte.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.